Welcome back to another edition of the Edge Podcast. Managing editor Brendan Slaughter, joined as always by BeaversEdge.com recruiting analyst Jared Hallis. We are here with another edition of the Edge Podcast, previewing Oregon State and Loyola Chicago in the Sweet 16. March Madness, 16 teams left, and your Oregon State Beavers are still alive. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. We got a lot of ground to cover and not a lot of time, so we want to get into it. But just right off the bat, Jared, did you ever think, given where this year started, you'd be talking about this team in the Sweet 16, and just how unbelievable has the journey been, just in a real, you know, larger picture sense?
It's been a ride, man. I mean, it's been a ride. You know, you come from not even having a tournament last season to, you know, people questioning if Wayne Tinkle's even the guy for the job, wondering how the team's going to fare this season in general. And then, you know, it's one for the books. So it's super cool. It's honestly been really awesome to watch. And let's hope it doesn't come to an end this week. But, you know, they've got a tough matchup. I think they can do it, though. They're playing some really inspired basketball. And, you know, they're playing clean, just playing good ball. They've had some crazy shots fall, I will say that. They've been making some nutty shots. But, you know, they've been playing some solid basketball. Defense has been great. So I think that, you know, they've got a real chance this weekend. Hopefully the run will continue.
Absolutely. And just to kind of set the stage for you, you know, you go all the way back and, you know, this run, it's been brewing for a while. And Coach Tinkle's been saying that, and, you know, the players have been saying that. And to be honest, yours truly didn't maybe even believe it until they got to like the Pac-12 tournament championship. And then the automatic berth was within their grasp because, you know, it was a miraculous turn at every corner to make it into the tournament. And, you know, obviously, knocking off UCLA, you know, first round of Pac-12 tournament, knocking off Oregon, knocking off Colorado. And again, two of those teams still alive in the Sweet 16. Shout out the Pac-12. We'll definitely talk about that in a few minutes as well. But just from the periphery heading into the tournament, they were so hot. And then you go in and take down a Tennessee team, you know, I'm not going to say easily, but the Beavers were the better team in that contest throughout, and it showed. Then you go to Oklahoma State, face what I believe to be one of the more athletic and just matchup nightmares for anybody in the postseason. And the Beavers are able to take it on the chin, knock off Cade Cunningham, number one overall pick, most likely, and, you know, the NBA draft this year. And, you know, here they stand, Loyola Chicago, Sweet 16. And, you know, I've been telling, you know, Beaver fans this week, you got to sit here and kind of enjoy the moment, because it's something that, I mean, just to, you know, showcase our youthfulness, something Jared and I weren't even close to being alive for the last time Oregon State made a March Madness run. Sorry, Jared, you know, you and I weren't born in 1982. So it's just, you know, for Oregon State fans, this has to just be like rarefied air of the week, right, Jared?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, you talked about the wins that they got along the way to get to this point. And I really want to focus on a couple of them, because to me, you know, you talked about you maybe didn't believe it. And I think I, as well as many other people, were in that same ship. It was kind of hard to believe because of the way that the rest of the season had unfolded to that point.
Absolutely.
So, you know, once they topped Oregon, I was like, okay, something could happen here. They beat Colorado, win the Pac-12 championship. And I'm like, okay,
no,
they've got a real chance to carry this momentum. But Tennessee looked like a tough matchup to me. I'd watched a couple of Tennessee games. God, I mean, you'd have thought they were playing my middle school basketball team. Yeah. It was insane how much of a game that was not. And then let's not forget that Oklahoma State took down a number one seed in Baylor in the Big 12 championship just a couple days, about a week before the tournament started. I mean, that's a massive win. And another game that truly was not that close.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's been crazy to watch.
Yeah, I mean, again, the you know, taking it even further, I say all the time, it's been so long since Oregon State, you know, was relevant in men's basketball this deep into March. And, you know, there's so many different, you know, avenues. And I say, enjoy the win to Beaver fans, but the positive ripple effects of this run have only begun. I mean, you just think about it from an exposure scale. The most amount of brackets in the history of, you know, college basketball were filled out this year. Oregon State was a bracket buster. There is not anyone in college basketball, not a recruit that's 15 to 18 years old, not a transfer that's at another school that's looking for a new opportunity, not fans, not boosters, not anything that or live in the college basketball world that at least didn't have to open their eyes to Oregon State. And that, I think, is what's going to be the most impactful part of this run so far.
Yeah, like you said, nobody really saw it coming. And, you know, we talk about brackets. I liked when they let you make what, 10 on ESPN.
Yeah. Something like that.
I created two, of course, for two of the teams that I cover, one of them making Georgia Tech win the championship, the other one making Oregon State win the championship. So one of those was quickly busted. The other one's still alive. I don't think the matchups have been exactly what I wanted them to be, but I do have a bracket with the Beavs taking home the title. So the hope's still alive. But yes, to your point, if I had one bracket to fill out, I don't think I would have had Oregon State slated in the Sweet 16 and in a position to take down another team that's, you know, played very well also to this point, if you want to get into that.
Yeah, in the one bracket that I kind of had the most confidence in, I think I filled out like two or three, and there was kind of one that I kind of publicly was like, okay, this is the bracket that I'm, you know, going forward with. And that was the one I had Oregon State going to the Sweet 16. It is, the proof is in the pudding. It exists. I can documentation. The receipt is there in black and white. But I had them losing this game to Illinois. I thought Illinois, you know, I had a lot of confidence in Illinois, and we'll get into that momentarily. But just to kind of wrap up this thought, Jared, on, you know, the impact before we get into this matchup against the Loyola Chicago Ramblers, how much do you think that a run like this, where, as I just mentioned, there's not a chance in the world that there's a college basketball recruit that doesn't now know who Oregon State is and doesn't think Oregon State can be relevant in March, in my opinion. Yeah. So what does this do for, you know, Beaver's Edge fans like to talk about the star guys? Is this a situation where maybe you have, you know, a bigger time recruit who in previous times was like, yeah, Oregon State, but they're not relevant in March? How much does maybe this go, well, heck, yeah, I like Oregon State. I can play. I can see myself playing there. I can see myself with Coach Tinkle. How much does this open the door and unlock this program being able to perhaps, you know, take that jump and make this be consistent in the postseason?
Yeah, I think it does a lot. Basketball recruiting is pretty different from football recruiting. I mean, you're only going to take 2, 3, maybe 4 guys per class. So you really have to be selective with those guys. And you see, you know, looking at the past, and you even see looking at this class, we'll have a snapshot going up tomorrow. But, you know, you see that they do like to take some swings on some bigger fish, per se. I mean, they've got offers out to guys right now who have 35-plus offers. Yeah, I mean, when you get to a point where there's only 16 teams left in the tournament and you're one of those teams, it turns those guys' heads because, you know, again, you want to if you're a basketball recruit, you want to be a part of a team that's more of a winning program. As a basketball player, you don't have to stay for more than 1 year. So the whole family stuff that we often see with football, the whole, you know, culture, aside from winning culture, but, you know, the tradition, stuff like that, it doesn't matter as much. It matters, but not as much. These guys want to compete. They want to play ball. They want to get out there, and they want to get to the league. So seeing Oregon State do this, putting themselves on a national scale where everybody's watching, is absolutely – it's not only big for the current players, which I don't want to skip over that either. The eyeballs that these guys are getting right now are huge. But it also definitely sets the tone, you know, just to answer the question for the guys watching who are in high school and have that decision to make, for sure.
Yeah, I think just in a lot of ways, just to kind of put a bow tie on this before we get into the matchup against Loyola, It's just the way that I see this. It takes time, obviously, but whereas maybe Wayne Tinkle and his staff couldn't get the door, get the key to the door to go into living rooms, now maybe you can. And yeah. We know that Wayne Tinkle and his staff have an unbelievable message in selling Corvallis and the, you know, real hard work, blue collar mentality. Oftentimes, perhaps, maybe they weren't even given the opportunity to sell themselves because you didn't have the track record. You didn't have the consistent rapport of March success, of putting guys necessarily in the league, you know, other than just a few guys recently. So it's all part of that, you know, that, you know, you said culture, but it's all part of kind of the exposure you have to build up. You have to have a certain wherewithal about your program to where you're known, you know, on a scale. And that's where I think this run, I think it's going to open a lot of doors and we'll see what happens, but you know, it's not
I
like
want to say one more thing too, just yeah, adding to that, because you mentioned something there that really brought something up to me. And it's that, you know, you do get the key. You do, because you win the Pac-12 championship, and I'll use Clay Travis, for example. Most people know who Clay Travis is, big sports personality, often known for having some incredibly hot takes. Big Tennessee guy, Oregon State pummels Tennessee. I see him say something about how Oregon State is a scrub team.
That was a hot tweet. That was a hot tweet.
So to me, that's like, okay, the public perception, the national perception still is not yet there yet. But when you continue that, and even I think at this point, they've proven it after beating, you know, the teams that they've beaten and you know, winning the championship should be enough. But now that everybody's had the chance to see what the Pac-12's done in this tournament, see that it's not a fluke and see that this team is legit, it takes that whole thing away. There's no Cinderella story. There's no run. This team is the legit team. It speaks to the job of Wayne Tinkle as well and his ability to develop these guys to make this run happen.
You know, without question. And you know, just to take that even a step further, I think the door, so many doors are going to be unlocked. And I think unlike 2015-16, where you were just happy to make the – you were happy to get the invite – You were, you know, back in 2015, Oregon State was the group of friends that got to go to prom, right? You were the group of buddies. You're like happy to go. It had been however 26 years, I think, since they had made the tournament. That was getting there. Now getting in, not only beating a good Tennessee, but smacking a good Tennessee team. And then going toe-to-toe with an Oklahoma State team who, again, everyone has their own opinions. That Cade Cunningham guy is going to be pretty darn good. And I think, yeah. And I think, you know, if you watch him play and the way that he can shoot and fly into the lane and force you to foul him, he's like Russell Westbrook with shooting, in my opinion. And I think his ceiling at the next level is going to be high. And that'll be something that Beaver fans for years look back and go, remember when we beat that guy in the NCAA tournament? I think that's something Oregon State fans will really hold their hat on, because he's a stud, an absolute stud. And Oregon State's defensive effort against him, they're going to need that same intensity against Loyola Chicago. I mean, just to get into, you know, the matchup with the Ramblers, they're an 8 seed, but man, that's a deceiving, deceiving seed. We got to start with them knocking off our own Jared Hollis's Georgia Tech first round. Jared, what was the story of that game? And what did you see in that game that gives you hope for the Beavers? You know, is obviously after knocking off Georgia Tech, they not only smacked, but probably smacked and spanked Illinois across the state. I mean, yeah, it was nasty.
And both of those things are things I want to touch on. You talk about the probable improper seating of Loyola Chicago, which I think is – probably, you know, a mostly agreed with opinion. But before I move on from that, I think Oregon State's also proven that they were disrespected with their seating as well. You said it to me the day after the selection, maybe even the day of. You're like, I don't think that's a good seed. They deserve better. Sure enough, now they do. So this is two teams that had a chip from the beginning because of the way they were seated, because they did great things in the regular, well, maybe not the regular season for Oregon State, but did good things leading up to the tournament. Right. I think Loyola Chicago had four, at most five losses in the regular season. In
their 26 and four. You're right.
Are you kidding me? Like, the team is very, very good. Yeah. And they're a team that's consistently involved when you talk about March. You know, Sister Jean, this is not her first appearance at the big dance.
It's not their first rodeo.
She's been dancing for a long time. So, you know, they're a team that's used to being around. But, yeah, just getting to the game against Tech. You know, they were down, man. Georgia Tech was down. ACC Player of the Year, Moses Wright, which was a big hit for them. But they were able to hang in there. And this is why I have hope for Oregon State, because they were able – Georgia Tech was able to hang around that whole game. It wasn't until the last few minutes where Loyola Chicago pulled away. You know, there was a lot of time – I think Georgia Tech got out to like an 11-point lead in like the first 5 minutes. Mm. They move on to Illinois, and like you said, spanked them. Bend them over, spanked them.
I mean, that was one of the more lopsided – I mean, putting on a pedestal here, what was more impressive and shocking when you saw the final score? Loyola Chicago over Illinois, or what USC did to Kansas?
Yeah, that too. But yeah, I mean, they've proven to be a team that, again, was not properly seeded, but I feel confident in the fact that Georgia Tech hung around.
Yeah.
While the tallest player on the floor that day was probably 6'6", 6'7", for them. So if Oregon State, I'm not saying that the recipe is going to be to pound the paint, because, you know, we all know who Krutwig is at this point. He's a great player down there. But there's a recipe, and Oregon State's playing much better basketball than either of the two teams now. You could definitely say that Loyola Chicago's had to beat to get to this point. So I think there's some real opportunity.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, just from what I've, you know, started my research into the Ramblers, and, you know, stay tuned to BeaversEdge.com tomorrow, as we'll have, you know, an in-depth preview along with this podcast and Jared's story as well. Tomorrow's going to be an awesome day, as we're recording this on a Wednesday, and this as well. So Thursday and Friday, Beaver's Edge, place to be. We're going to just drop that little plug there. Yeah. But getting in with the Ramblers, the thing that jumped out most to me right off the bat is the fact that they allow the least amount of points in NCAA basketball.
Yeah.
Period. Of any team. Like, dancing or not. 55.8 points a game allowed. And you think, knocked off Georgia Tech, 71-60. Knocked off Illinois, 71-58. So, and on top of it, they average, guess what? 71.5 points per game. So, the recipe for this is, in my opinion, very similar to what the recipe was for Oklahoma State. And because, you know, Tennessee, they hung their hat on defense as well, but the offense wasn't necessarily quite as good, in my opinion, as Loyola Chicago's. With Loyola Chicago having an elite defense, the big neutralizer is going to be whether or not Oregon State can continue to hit threes at the ridiculous clip that they have. In the regular season, I think 33-34%, nothing, you know, amazing. And I think the Beavers are, you know, 5 or 6 percentage points higher than that during this stretch run. They've hit some crazy threes. They've, you know, had some good looks. You know, guys like Maurice Kalou have come in and hit threes, so on and so forth. If the Beavers can stretch the floor and be able to hit those threes that we've been saying for weeks now, man, they weren't hitting those in the regular season. I think they can hang with them. I really do.
But you've got to factor in as well that Loyola Chicago has also made their fair share of threes so far.
Yes. This
I think they had nearly 10 against Tech. Not too sure what the number was against Illinois, but they're scoring at a really high clip as well. So you talk about the defense, absolutely. But I don't know if I expect them to go for 70 points every game either. So, yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with your, you know, recipe. I think if they can really spread the floor, get some open looks from three, try to knock down some sure shots. Yeah. Like you said, they've made some pretty crazy ones. So if they can really get some good looks, then I think they could – I really think they could pull this off. And honestly, I don't want to jinx it, but I've got the beef.
Yeah, so that's the thing is, you know, Oregon State fans are going to be going up against the Sister Jean Magic here, Jared. So, you know, they're going to need all the luck they can get. But I don't – you know, all joking aside, I don't think it is luck. I think it's just going to be the fact that this team is playing with an unshakable confidence. The Beavers may very well come up short in this game. But the thing of it is this group – there's no quit. There's no, you know, intimidation factor. And with all due respect to the field, I think outside of like a Gonzaga, I don't think this team would be just like, you know, ever shaking in their boots to walk into a game. And that's what I think so many have expected. Well, Oregon State's going to be intimidated by UCLA. Oregon State won't be able to be, you know, get over Oregon. Won't be able to get over Colorado. Won't be able to get over Tennessee. Won't be able to get over Oklahoma State. And the narrative this week, it, you know, I saw, you know, Porter Mosier on First Take with Stephen A. and Max Kellerman this week. They are quite literally one of the media darlings and getting a lot of hubbub, a lot of buzz. Oregon State, you know, not given a huge chance in this game publicly. And my whole overarching point in that is that's just fine for Wayne Tinkle and company. They thrive on that. They've got, you know, 12 written in their jersey collars for a reason. They just so happen to be a 12 seed in the tournament. You know, there's just something magical about this group, and that's not to disparage if they fall up short or win. It's just this team is not going to go out without a proper fight, and given where they were in January, it's an incredible journey, and, you know, it's something you almost have to sit back and marvel at.
It's tough for you know, the casual basketball fans and even the ones that really, you know, get into this kind of stuff, because I think in general, Loyola Chicago is a team that you want to do good, because again, it doesn't matter if they barely lose in the regular season, they still, you know, are not getting respected by their seed. So you want them to outperform that, because you know they're a good team, they're a fun team, they haven't done anything wrong to anybody. So you want Loyola Chicago to make a run. At the same time, like you said, a lot of people like to root for the underdog, which has been Oregon State from the beginning.
Right.
And it's been fun, I think, for everybody. You don't have to be an Oregon State fan. It has been fun to see them do what they've done to this point. So I think that I think it's going to be difficult for people to decide who they're rooting for, unless there's, you know, bracket stuff involved, which, you know, I'd be danged if a lot of people had this matchup happening. But, you know, it's going to be tough. But, again, I'm sticking with my prediction. And I'm really excited for this game. I'm super pumped for this basketball game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And, you know, I'm excited because, you know, Beaver fans get to wake up on Saturday morning, 11:40 a.m. That's morning basketball. You got to love that. So, you know, that's going to be fun for Beavers, you know, to enjoy and start their weekend. And, you know, for me, as I kind of look to, you know, start to angle towards my prediction for this, I think – you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the balance is with how Oregon State matches up, particularly with the straw that stirs Loyola Chicago, and that's Cameron Krotwig. If Roman Silva, Rodrigo Ndella, De'Aaron Tucker, if they can make him work for everything, because, you know, 15 points, 7 boards, and 3 assists, he kind of makes everything go. And we've kind of seen what he can do when he's on. If the Beavers can play solid defense and then be able to kind of control the tempo of the game, I like their odds because, again, you look at how the bracket shook out, it probably would have been more advantageous for Oregon State to play them right away. But I still think it's a factor that for Loyola Chicago, other than perhaps reaching the Final Four, the national championship game, their Super Bowl was getting to play Illinois. And their Super Bowl trophy was getting to beat Illinois, because every single player on that Loyola Chicago roster probably wishes they had gotten recruited to play basketball at Illinois. Just like every single, and I want to make sure I don't butcher the name, Abilene Christian player wanted to play for Texas. So that factor, I think, does factor in a lot. And, you know, they beat Illinois like a drum, and now we're sitting on that for a week. So, you know, maybe that plays in Oregon State's favor, maybe it doesn't. I like to just, you know, stand out the facts, but I think it could be a factor. So when you combine all that with, you know, the other narratives, I think Oregon State will be able to hang, but they're going to have to, you know, play another fantastic basketball game, because this is an elite opponent, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. I think we're both leaning the same way here. The potential is definitely there, man. It really is. So they've got to play some sound basketball. Just keep doing what they've been doing. If they do that, they'll win the game.
I'll tell you what,
keep playing with that ship and just let's do this.
We're gonna speak it into existence. Should they win, Jared and I'll be back bringing down the reaction on the next pod. Okay. So, you know,
but we're just gonna speak in the simplest of 2021 terms, those boys are just hooping, man. Yeah. They are just hooping. But on both sides, it doesn't matter. They're just playing some dang good basketball. It's been so awesome to watch. I cannot wait for this game. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, see, folks, you can't even keep Jared Hollis contained. It's nearly – it's past 10 o'clock where he's at, and this guy's fired up, ready for basketball that starts 48 hours from now. This is the passion and pageantry that you get at BeaversEdge.com. So it's absolutely the place to be. All fun aside, I think it is going to be a fantastic matchup between two teams that, you know, truthfully have a chip on their shoulder right now and continue to play with a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, while Loyola Chicago might be the more seasoned team, you know, they got a couple holdovers still from that, you know, Final Four run a couple years ago, you know, and got the power of Sister Jean. You know, I think Oregon State is playing with an unflappable confidence. And, you know, we saw in that Oklahoma State game, they took Oklahoma State's best punch. And there were times where I'm like, okay, you know, the Cowboys are starting to creep back into this thing. Maybe the Beavers will, you know, let some doubt creep in. Nope. Every time they needed, you know, a big bucket, a big stop, they did what they did. And that's why I said, this is going to be a dandy of a contest. And I think there's going to be one really deserving team heading to the Elite Eight. And with any luck, it'll be your Oregon State Beavers. So we'll see again, that tip off 11:40 on Saturday. Make sure to keep it locked to beaversedge.com throughout the week. As you know, Jared and I will have, you know, content up and down previewing the matchup. We'll have this podcast up as well. And then obviously a game day coverage on Saturday. So it's going to be a great matchup. Jared, do you have any kind of parting thoughts before we wrap up this edition of the pod? And as you said, start to eagerly watch the clocks until Saturday.
Yeah. I think you put the bow on it pretty good. Whatever team wins this game deserves, probably, barring any crazy situation, deserves to win this game. And if it doesn't happen for Oregon State, there's nothing to hang your freaking head
no,
around.
No. House money at this point.
Facts. It's been an amazing run, and it's awesome. So, you know, this is going to be, for me, you know, without having any fandom tied into it, it's just pure enjoyment, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, and it's like I said, you're not alone. You're not alone, and you're not alone with, you know, with me being excited for it, because it's, you know, so unprecedented. Just like I'm sure we have, you know, Beaver fans left and right that are excited for it as well. So that'll go ahead and wrap up this edition of the podcast. Make sure to keep it locked, BeaversEdge.com. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage previewing Oregon State Loyola and, you know, various other basketball coverage as well. So keep it locked, BeaversEdge.com. Thanks for watching this edition of the Edge Podcast.